Well, good afternoon, brethren. And again, happy Sabbath to everyone. And those tuning in on the internet or those online, rather on the phone. It's a beautiful day to be together. Let me get the right eyeglasses on so I can see what I'm doing. Oh, I got the right side of the page. Whenever we look at the responsibility that we have today as the bride of Christ making herself ready, we realize that we have a need to be focusing on those things that are preventing a close to that personal relationship that we are to have. We are especially concerned with, are we doing those things that are pleasing to God? Are we seeking His will in our life? Are we taking the characteristics of Jesus Christ, who set us an example of how we are to be living our life? Whenever we see what God says that His people are not doing when Christ returns, speaking about love waxing cold, an attitude of lethargy, apathy that we saw earlier as far as the Laodicean church, when Christ returns, those are the things that we're going to be seeing when He comes back. We need to be looking closely at how we can get ourselves going in a right direction. Some time back, we looked at an area that will keep us from attaining our goal, and that was how our priorities are not in order, and that basically we need to be sure that we are putting God and His way as a primary part of our life and how to live. So even though we may see our priorities, what they need to be, there is another human characteristic flaw that will keep from reaching our goal or making our priorities a reality. And we'll look at a couple little short examples about that. One is that a man showed up at a Procrastination Anonymous meeting only to see if there was a sign on the door. And the sign said, "Tonight's meeting is postponed." And then it said later, "To be rescheduled eventually." Another example was about a husband explaining to his wife, and he said, "I'll have you to know that you are talking to the leader of the largest nation on this earth." And his wife asked and says, "Well, what nation is that?" And he answered, "Procrastination." Now, we learned how we were doing this kind of a thing from an early age in our life, about looking to tomorrow. We were told to put away our toys when we were children. And our parents would then, because we didn't do it, they would put them away for us. And we kind of learned something from that. Well, it's okay. It's not that bad. Our parents did it. So it's not a problem that we are doing something like that. About every diet plan that we have in our life over time, where we either want to lose weight, where we want to take care of our health and have a better way of treating ourselves by maybe we'll start a good diet. Well, when will we do that? Tomorrow. Well, what happens about 2 months later? We're going to start tomorrow. Well, how about a month later after that? Well, we'll have to just start tomorrow. And we haven't changed our diet. We're gaining weight. We're still unhealthy. We have made so much of this a part of our physical life that we don't even see the danger of this in our spiritual life as well, that we're being procrastinating. The question is, are we procrastinating? Is procrastinating a part of how we are living in our life and with God? Are we looking at everything from a standpoint of, I'll get to it tomorrow? Today we're going to look at this condition that human beings are living with and see that we are, or habitually, things that we're putting away. To be doing something that should be done far later, procrastinatus, I'm sorry. And it means, to translate it, means pro, or forward, or for, and crastinus means of tomorrow. So it means procrastinus, or procrastinatus, means for tomorrow, for forward till tomorrow. It also means to stall, to kill time, to tarry, to dilly-dally, to waste time, to put off actions, to hold back. Now, even the words that we see that describe this, they sound benign. They don't even sound that bad, because we've been doing this kind of thing our whole life, and it doesn't look that's such a wrong thing to be doing. Now, the antonym to that word is to hasten or to hurry and speed up. To do something right now, not to put it off, and to be diligent in how we're doing it. What we don't see is just how destructive this condition is to our character and our salvation. The deception is that we can always do it tomorrow or later, and we're sincere about it. We really intend to do it. It's not like something we want to not do a good thing. Like we don't want to diet. We don't want to disobey God. We don't want to do something that we've been wanting to do. We want to do it. We do intend to do it. We're just saying, I'll put it off till tomorrow. And then what happens? It doesn't get done. How many tomorrows are there, brethren? Do we have the luxury of sitting back and say, I'll do it later? Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we'll read in verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And he goes on and says, for there is no work nor device, and that word means no planning or reasoning. So there's no work, there's no planning or reasoning, nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave where you go. He's letting us know that, you know, whatever you want to do, do it with all your might, because there's no given time that we have to be doing this. No one, brethren, has a time to live forever as human beings. None of us will live forever. Now, that word might that he mentioned there means vigor. Or while you are here now, do it now. With all your ability, your strength, your enthusiasm. We'll have no more opportunity to do anything of these things that we're planning to do tomorrow once we are in the grave. Once that happens, all that planning we had, all that things that we wanted to do that we were putting off and postponing, they're not going to get done once we're in the grave. It's done. We don't know when that's going to happen, do we? None of us do. This is the only chance that we have to do it, and that's right now, while we are here. Since this problem has such an impact on us physically, again, it is passing on to us spiritually. Let's turn over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Notice here what Jesus had to say. John chapter 9 and verse 4. Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. In other words, right now I'm going to do it, this day. He says, the night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he set us an example for us that he is doing a work at an appointed time while he is here. That word night that he talks about there represents death. He's doing it in the day while he's here, not in the night, because nothing will be done at night. And that will be done, and that will happen when the night comes. It will be all ended. It won't happen anymore. Jesus said, we are to let our light shine as well. Are we reflecting the work he is doing in us while we are here today? As he did things, as he said, at the time that it had to be done, are we doing that as well? Or are we putting it off? Right now, it is our time to be growing, overcoming, taking advantage of the time that we now have. Taking advantage of it while we're here. Now, what is lacking in this issue? It's a sense of urgency. We have to ask ourselves, what's so important that we have to do it now? What's the big deal that we have to do this? Well, maybe one thing we can look at in our life spiritually is that how many times did we think, I want to fast? Yeah, I'm going to fast. I need to fast. I need to get some things clear with God. I need to have him fill my mind with his spiritual food. I want to fast, and I'll do it tomorrow. Well, what happens the next day? Well, we got so tied up with things and so busy, well, we didn't get to fast again that time. but we'll do it again tomorrow. And then maybe another week goes by, a month goes by, and then finally we're coming up on the Day of Atonement, and guess what? Now we're going to fast. Not because we were planning on it and wanting to do it, it's because now we had to do it. Are we putting things off that are even spiritually important in our life? As we talked about earlier about the importance of prayer, do we pray as often as David did? Do we pray in the way that we should be praying every day? Or do we put off a day because something came up in the morning, I had to run out to work, or I came home late and I was so tired, I had to go to bed and I couldn't pray, I couldn't study, I couldn't get anything with God going, I'll do it tomorrow. How many other days will go by? How many tomorrows are there that we'll be looking forward to doing? So why rush? Because if we keep putting it off, it'll never get done. We have to see the importance of this situation, what this problem is like that we have to deal with. We have all been given a job to do while we are in the flesh. We're not just called, brethren, to put in the time now. We're not just here to put in the time and then wait until it's we're gone. We're here to make the time profitable. We need to be making the sacrifice that Christ made for us in his life and how we are living and making the changes by not putting things off to do that. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. We are continually warned about how valuable the time is. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James 4 and verse 13. James says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. So he's saying they're going to say, well, what about today or tomorrow? We'll go in such a city and we'll do that at some point in time. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. We don't know how long we'll be here. It could be a shorter time than we had wanted to be or thought we'd be. Verse 15, he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Not that you're going to do it at this time, but you're going to do it whenever we want. Today or tomorrow, we'll go and do things that we wanted to do. Verse 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So if we ask ourselves a question, is procrastinating a sin? Yeah, I think that's what we're learning here. That if you know to do good and do not do it, because you're putting it off, that it may never get done, it is a sin. We have no excuse, brethren, for not doing. We don't know how much time we have left. So James here is telling us that procrastination is not a little issue, even though it doesn't sound that bad because we've been doing it our whole life. He says it's rather a sin. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We see that we are not ignorant in the truth of God. We know God's truth. We heard how much of that we learned about what the importance of prayer. And that all comes from God's word, that we're learning everything about what we are doing every day in our life. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Peter says here, the Lord is not slack, meaning he doesn't delay, he doesn't tarry, he doesn't procrastinate, concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but rather is long-suffering toward us. So he's saying God does not delay. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't put off his promise that he made to us. Rather, he says he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything's going to just be destroyed. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and goodness while you're here now? Not when all these things are going to be removed and gone. Verse 12, again, he goes on, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, because of which heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, looked for the new heaven and new earth, which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, look forward to these things and be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. How are we becoming without spot and blameless in our life? How do we do that? By obeying God's word. By making the changes in our life that we kept putting off for time after time and year after year. We do have a sense of urgency to fulfill what God expects from us. Or are we putting it off and doing what is necessary that we think to be made ready? What are we doing? We have that sense of urgency that God wants us to have. How many of us still struggle with things again for years? Again, putting it off or not fixing it, and it's not that bad. And then later you say, oh, it's really worse than I thought, but I didn't take care of it. I need to do it when? Procrastination want to be taking the path of least resistance, meaning it's the easy way to do something. Basically being lazy, and if it's hard, just put it away. If it's difficult, I just won't do it. I'll do it when I feel like it. I'll get to it whenever I get to feel like doing it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Let's notice an example here that Solomon gives us in his very important book for us to learn something that we are to be making sure we are aware of. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard, and consider her ways, or meaning watch her ways, being diligent is what she was like, her ways being diligent, and be wise. So he says, you are to go to the ant, look at her ways, that she's diligent, and you be wise. Wherefore, having no guide or overseer or ruler, verse 8, provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Verse 9, he goes on and says, how long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Verse 10, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so that your poverty may come as one that travaileth. That means one who walks forward and backward in his life, not just going in the right direction. And your want as an armed man, meaning he that leaves his concerns will see them destroyed. So if we're leaving our things that we're to be focused on, he says, we'll be destroyed. We will die from what's going to be happening in our life. And again, he's giving us the example here of this ant. That word sluggard means slothful, lazy, one who is sluggish, doesn't want to be very active in doing things. Solomon is using an example, an amazing example here, for the importance of our not to be procrastinating. Now, over the past century, there was no evidence that ants harvested grain. But in 1871, a British naturalist showed that Solomon had been right after all. And in southern Europe, he discovered that ants maintained granaries, because these harvester ants, as they are called, are found in Europe and they're on the shores of the Mediterranean. They had escaped notice for centuries. Now, we know when we look at ants, they're very tiny, so tiny and small, you can hardly see them. But yet, he says, they are wise. And we are to look at their ways and what they were doing as being diligent. Now, again, many ants use seeds as food, but only the harvesters have built an economy which depends largely on gathering or seed graining. Now, these ants usually inhabit regions where the food is scarce, yet the competition is keen. So they had a lot of people there fighting, or animals and things fighting against them to get this food. And they stored up the seeds that they collected during the growing season for use during the dry season when the food was not going to be available. And these are little tiny ants. Wow, how smart are they? Well, if you had a business, maybe you'd want to hire one of them so they can get some things done that you couldn't get done. Now, the tiny creature has, it says, no leader. The ant has no king, no captain, no commander, or coordinator. In any colony, the queen that they did have, was the source of life. And she brought to the colony the life of the other ants that were going to come along. So she needed them to be doing all that they were doing so that she kept having more ants that would be brought to them to take care of the food. But she does not bring direction or command to the colony. Ants live in colonies that consist of millions of ants, individual ants who know their roles and carry out their responsibilities faithfully. Boy, they have such a job to do that they stay on top of it. They don't go backward. By nature, each individual ant knows that it must be disciplined and diligent. And if in the colony they are going to survive the harsh condition of the world. So they're doing this for their survival. They know that if we don't take care of this, we don't get the harvest, we're not going to eat. And when the winter comes, we're going to die because we don't have any food all that we've done. So they work without guide or overseer or ruler. There's no one to push them. They are self-motivated to do the job. Are we self-motivated in what we're doing? Are we waiting to make that decision later? Are we motivating ourselves in the right way? Now, years ago, my wife and I had a problem with ants in our house. Wow, let me tell you. I don't know if you had the issues, but let me know. If you don't, I'll tell you how maybe you want to prevent it. But we had the problem with ants, and they were coming in, and we opened the door in the closet one day, and there's all these ants in there. Think, what are they doing? How do they know there was food in there? We got all these other places in the house. They're not coming into the bathroom and the bedroom. They're coming right into the closet that the door was shut, and now they're going after the nice, sweet foods that are in there that they're trying to get a hold of. So we did everything that we could to get rid of them. We watered outside. We sprayed. We sprayed in the house on the floor. We swept things up. We cleaned out the cabinet. We did everything we could. We did a great job. We were really good. The next morning, we went into the closet to get some sugar out, and there were ants all over the closet. They got a job to do. They had to bring that food back to the colony so they could all eat the nice, sweet things that they were looking forward to. We couldn't stop it. But that's how they are. They are industrious and persevering, and no task that they take, that they go through, is difficult for them, even in our closet. They are known to make bridges even across waterways or to pile together and make, I've seen this on the internet. They actually pile together in a bunch. They make a big ball like that of ants in a circle, and they go on the water so they can get across because they can't swim and they can't sink because they're so light. They stay on the top, and together they just float across the water to get the other side of where the heavy waters flow in the stream or the lake or whatever it was. They are really diligent workers at what they were doing. Each one has a job to do and is tenaciously taking care of it and controlling it and doing it. They are faithful and persistent in the execution of their duties. Again, a little slumber. It comes on a little at a time, slowly, that we start doing this. It doesn't seem that big a deal that all I'm doing, I'll do it eventually. I'll get to it. So Solomon understood the importance of the ant as an example for us to see that he wants us to learn that we have to be diligent and continue on to not do and put things away. We don't know, we don't say that we will not do what God says, as I mentioned earlier. He's telling us that we would be obviously doing something wrong if we did that. So rather we'll say, I'll do it tomorrow. Now the effects of this problem can be devastating. We can be robbed of happiness, peace of mind, damage relationships with others. It can be very negative in our physical effect as well. Proverbs 21, verse 25. Proverbs 21 and verse 25. It says, the desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse labor. That means they're, despite of their desires, they will come to ruin. The desire of the slothful, even though they desire something or we desire something, if we don't do it, we're going to come to ruin. Procrastination produces guilt, causes stress, and we know that stress can kill. Not setting goals in our life. It's a last-minute pressure to accomplish a task. Do it the last minute. The longer we put it off, the harder it is to do and causes us to be upset, anxious, or angry with ourselves. Procrastination, brethren, also lacks wisdom. Now, we read in Proverbs 6 earlier that, he said, consider her ways and be wise. Because procrastination robs them of peace of mind, takes away our wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 24. We're always alligated or upset because we're not doing those things that we should be doing. Even though we know we should be, we didn't do it, we're upset even with ourselves because we didn't do it, we put it off. Proverbs 24, verse 30. He says, I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of a man void of understanding, with no common sense. I saw that it was overcome with nettles, it was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Then I looked, and I thought about it, and I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Verse 34, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity, meaning a short supply, will attack you like an armed robber. So how stressful was it for them to see a valuable piece of land that wasted away because they were just too lazy to go take care of the vineyard? It was overgrown with weeds. Nothing can grow. It could have produced food for the entire family. Now it's useless. How are we developing what God has given us? How are we helping our families to have things that they need in their life if we're putting off important things that we should be doing now? Again, ants do not labor just for the sake of staying busy. They have a prudent expectation of future needs. They possess instinctive motivation and discipline that we can develop through wisdom in our life. That's what we need, to have wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Be confident that we know that whatever we ask of God, he's going to provide for us. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What are we doubting that we're not doing in our life? Are we doubting things as well? Are we doubting that God can help us to make the changes that we need to do? Are we putting that off? Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we're double-minded, if we don't have wisdom, we're not going to see that God can do these things for us. And being double-minded is not having wisdom. And a procrastinator is double-minded. He's unable to make a clear decision on something, so just put it off. Whenever we have a hard time making up our mind, we're going to procrastinate. The word wise, the definition means intelligent, sensible, to produce good effect in how we live. To be wise makes us prosper and decisions on what and when we are to do what needs to be done. Wisdom will give us that ability to know when to make these decisions to do that at the right time. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, seek then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time or the opportunity, because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, which will ruin you, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, we ought to know the way we are walking. Don't be distracted by temptations. Don't let that liquor help to take you away from what you need to be doing, because he says, we are to be wise in how we are doing things. Verse 16, again, he said, making the most of the time, because fools waste time with nonsense. Wisdom, brethren, is the result of spending time wisely and having correct view of future needs. We know what we need in the future because we are using God's wisdom. We know what should be done. The will of the Lord is to keep or do his commandments, all of them. Wisdom and understanding, brethren, can go hand in hand. And again, wisdom is a result of having godly understanding. Once we understand God's word, we're going to put it into our life. We're going to apply it. And when we're applying God's word, we will develop wisdom in what we're doing. Another thing is that fear causes procrastination. Fear causes procrastination. It means a fear of failure. We fear that it's too hard, so we'll never be able to finish it. Procrastinators will put off things that we think are too hard. I'm afraid I can't do it. It's too hard. Some fear that they aren't capable of accomplishing certain tasks. They will be criticized by others for not being able to do the job or to overcome a problem or a weakness. I'm afraid they're going to be upset with me because I'm not making the changes that I need to make in my life, so I can't do it. So then they will never begin to work on their problem, thinking that they won't be able to do it. So why start? Or their fear of not getting it done perfectly, so they need to spend incredible amounts of time to research information on a project dealing with their personal issues that they want to deal with, that they never ever feel that they have enough information to get the job done perfectly. So I need to do something, but I really have got to look into this more and more. I've got to study into it, work on it. And before you know it, months have gone by and it hasn't happened because I'm trying to find out so many things that I can't do. I'm afraid to do it because there's too many things. And the end results, so why start? Why bother? Fear will also paralyze us. I keep saying or thinking, I can't get it done in time, so why start? Proverbs 29, verse 25, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man brings a snare or a trap, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So we don't need to let fear take over how we're going to control ourselves or what we're going to do. We want to make a change? Ask God for the help. Ask God for the strength. Ask God for the wisdom that we need to do it. God has given us all the talents that we are able to accomplish, whatever that he makes available. And God expects us to use our talents to produce what we are capable of doing. We are to work through our fears and ask God, what will happen if I do or if I don't procrastinate? What will happen if I do or if I don't? What's going to change? What's going to happen? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So we are to see the importance of having love in our life so that we won't be fearing things. Again, love casts out fear. The only fear that we should be having is godly fear. And that godly fear would be the kind of fear that we're not doing all that he commands of us, that we would be upsetting or disappointing God. Overcoming is not something that we can do, brethren, on our own. We need that help from God. We need him to give us the strength and the ability to stand up and make a right decision and to move forward with our priorities to make them do the right thing. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans 8 and verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So are we going to allow fear to take over the love that we have, that God wants us to have, that we don't have to worry about? Will he give us the help, the strength that we need? He loves us, and he will do it. And we will then, if we are applying it, do it at that time, the changes will come. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. How confident we are that God will be able to provide all we need to finish the work that he began in us. How great is that, that we have that? Philippians 1 and verse 3, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray always with joy because of your partnership in the gospel in the day, gospel from the day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ returns. God has promised us that he will be there to do all that we need to be able to come through this time. One other point we want to look at here is that procrastinators make excuses. Like, I just don't feel motivated. So that's a good excuse. I don't feel motivated. We'll do things that will keep us so busy that we'll never be able to finish whatever we started. Procrastinating devices deceives us into believing that as long as we are always busy, we are being productive. Even if we're not doing what we need to be doing, but we're busy, so we're being productive, so it must be okay. I found this interesting little kind of a poem, if you will, online. And it says, I've gone for a drink and sharpened pencils, searched through my deck and forgotten utensils. I reset my watch and adjusted my chair. I've loosened my tie and straightened my hair. I filled my pen and tested my blotter and gone for another drink of water. Adjusted the calendar, I've raised the blinds, and I've sorted erasers of all different kinds. Now down to work, I can finally sit. Oops, too late, it's time to quit. How many of those excuses do we have in our life that are keeping us from actually doing what we should be doing or making that right choice? Proverbs 20 and verse 4, they don't have to turn to it. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. In other words, not making a complaint or an excuse because it's cold. Therefore, he shall bring in harvest and have nothing. So here we see that a sluggard will not plow because he's making an excuse that it's cold. We ought to keep track, brethren, of our excuses. Like, I don't have enough time, so there's no sense in starting. We all have the same amount of time. We're just not looking at it in the right way. I've got plenty of time, so I'll wait. Or it's too nice outside. Or I'll wait until I'm inspired. Or I'll wait until they'll forget. Now, the right attitude would be, I'm tired, and I'll work 1.5 hour, and then I'll go to bed. So I'll get something done before I wind up going to bed. Or it's Friday, or it's too late to finish, but I'll get started today, and I'll get that taken care of as much as I can today, even though it's Friday. We remember that all seven churches, brethren, were told by God that they were to overcome and not to be making excuses in their lives. We need to be wise in what we're doing. What can we be doing to not be a sluggard? We are to be faithfully following God's instruction. When we are procrastinating, we are not putting our soul hearts in what we do. We are slow showing a lack of faithfulness to his word. So we've got to see the importance of God in our life with this. It's not just what we're seeing here and a number of things that are important to put this away. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3 verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. God will bless us with a life of eternal existence as a bride of Christ because we are doing what he wants us to do in our life. We're working with him with all of our heart, not putting things off. Consider the results, brethren, of the consequences of sin in our life. Consider how many consequences we have of the things that we're doing wrong that we need to change. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Matthew 26 and verse 41, it says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, that the spirit is indeed, it is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus shows here the consequences of not watching and praying, that we should be careful. Otherwise, we're going to enter into temptation and not do the things and suffer the consequences. We think that it's just not that important. And why we are doing this? James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1 and verse 21 says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only and deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer or a procrastinator, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately he forgets what he looked like." Verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." We need to be looking at the importance of God in our life through all of this, brethren. We can't have a personal relationship with God if we're not willing to get motivated and do what he wants. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." A non-procrastinating person works for improvement, not wish for things to be better, but a doer. We're not to be wishing for things, brethren. We're to be doing them. We're to be diligent, wholly, speedily, intensively, fast, quickly, taking action. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It says, "It shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth." It won't be just a procrastination nation. It'll be all the nations of the earth that God will set us over. "If you will diligently hearken," meaning if you wholly give wholly your attention and to be obedient to him. That's how we are to be doing it. Psalm 119, verse 59. Psalm 119, verse 59 says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies." Verse 60, "I made haste and delayed not to keep your commandments." He says he thought on his ways. He meditated on it. He realized the importance, and he had turned his feet unto his going in the right direction and didn't make haste and not delayed to keep God's commandments. That's what we are to be doing every day in our life. What is it that God wants for us to be doing, brethren? Be diligent to make the changes. Proverbs 27 in verse 1, you don't have to turn there, from the New Jerusalem Bible. It says, "Do not congratulate yourselves about tomorrow, since you do not know what today will bring forth." Don't look ahead to what you're going to, "I'm going to do this tomorrow and it's going to be great." No, he says, don't congratulate yourself about tomorrow, since you don't know what today is going to happen, if you won't be here anymore, or if something will make it even more impossible for you to make the change later. Again, brethren, we don't know how much time we have left. We need to be sure that we are setting our goals. Let's not put off things to a delay in our life. Turn one to one last scripture in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And in verse 7, Galatians 6 and verse 7, Paul tells us here, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will reap." Whatever we change in our life, whatever we don't put away and make the change and start doing it, he says, whatever you sow, not like the sluggard, but like the ant, whatever you sow, well, you will also reap. Don't be deceived. Whatever you or mock, whatever a man sows, that will he reap. For he that sows to his flesh will reap, of the flesh will reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. So we're not sowing or giving ourselves to the physical world. We're giving ourselves to God's spiritual world in our life. What a blessing that is, brethren, that we have that knowledge, to have God living in us, that we are sowing his word in us. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or not put it off. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, whether it's our families or brethren in the church. How are we being faithful to serving everyone in our life if we are doing the changes that are going to make us like Christ, to be as the example he was, where he did everything that God wanted him to do while it was the day? In conclusion, brethren, we need to be careful that we are not procrastinating. It will hinder our growth and our ability to be successful in whatever it is we want to accomplish in our life, physically or spiritually. By proper planning and self-discipline, we can eliminate procrastination from our physical and our spiritual lives. Brethren, let's be sure that we are doers of God's word and not wishers. Start now.